The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 71. The Best Proof. Rupert strode into the studio with measured steps. Novelt, Ram, Aorg owns this content. The well-cut suit enhanced his strong and perfect figure. His gorgeous face was a little forbidding, and his sharp eyes gazed ahead keenly. He looked so intimidating that it was daunting. His noble personality made people automatically wish to bow to him. A hush fell over the crowd at this moment. Everyone's eyes turned to the entrance in unison. "Mr. Benton, you have arrived just in time." As soon as Annie spotted Rupert, she walked forward in her high heels to meet him. Even though Rupert's expression was so intimidating, Annie knew she would have to move first to convince him that all of today's events were Annabelle's fault. She must convince him that Annabelle lost the button and delayed the progress of the advertisement shoot. She believed once Rupert believed her claims, he would make Annabelle's life miserable. Considering this, Annie spun around and displayed her back to Rupert. With an aggrieved expression, she said, "Look, Mr. Benton, this is the dress Annabelle provided me with." Rupert's icy gaze fell on Annie's dress. The row of diamond buttons, only missing the middle one, was very conspicuous. His eyebrows furrowed slightly as it struck him that Annabelle wouldn't make such an obvious mistake. Noting his silence, Annie continued to pretend to be distressed. She pursed her lips and said, "How can I shoot in such a dress? What's more, the buttons of Leo Studios' dresses are all bespoke. Now that one is missing, we will have to ask them to customize another one. We don't even know how long this will take." The process was derailed because of Annabelle's mistake. However, to defend herself, she slandered me. She claimed that I cut off the button. How can that be possible? She's saying I cut the button myself, delayed the shoot, and wasted my time. It's simply impossible. Why is it impossible? Annabelle glared at Annie coldly. The hair at the back of Annie's neck stood up and she rolled her eyes. "Don't talk nonsense. Do you have any proof that I sabotaged the dress?" Annabelle said lightly, "Before I gave you the dress, I checked it thoroughly. At that time, it had 10 buttons on it. After you went to the fitting room and got dressed, one button went missing. There is no doubt that the button could only be removed in the fitting room and was deliberately cut off. If the button became loose and fell off, a thread would still be left behind. We have already confirmed that no trace of a thread remains where the button used to be. This act was purposely committed by someone." After a pause, Annabelle continued, "As for who the culprit could be, it is quite obvious, as only you and your agent were in the fitting room at that time." "Don't sling mud at me." Annie glared at Annabelle. "If I cut the button off in the fitting room, why couldn't you find it there?" Annabelle retorted, "Let me ask you then, where did you toss the button?" Annie snorted. "You lost the button yourself. Did you really check the dress carefully? Oral declarations cannot be taken as evidence. You're just making an excuse for your mistake." "Of course, I was not just making a declaration." With a composed expression, Annabelle fixed her gaze on Annie. "What if I can prove you're the one who cut the button and disposed of it?" As Annie stared into Annabelle's cold eyes, her expression changed. "How can you prove that? No surveillance camera was there in the fitting room, and the button had already been tossed into the sewer. How could Annabelle prove anything?" Annie believed Annabelle must have said that to trick her. Annabelle took one step forward and slowly said, "Annie, there is one thing you're probably unaware of." Annie instinctively asked, "What?" "The dress you are wearing is specially customized by Leo Studio for Benton Group. The style is specifically suited to highlight the theme ice and fire," Annabelle said calmly. Annie was stunned. "So what?" Annabelle continued, "To make the shoot more attractive, the designer made the diamond buttons with a special material which will display different colors under different lights to highlight the theme." Annabelle had come up with this special design. She thought of the idea of making the buttons change colors with different lights to achieve an awe-inspiring effect. As long as the lights changed, the colors of the buttons would also change. Annie's face darkened. "What are you getting at? Doesn't that explain anything?" Annabelle focused on Annie's hand, her lips curving up in a sarcastic smile. When the cold light shines on the buttons, they will turn white. And when the warm light shines on them, they will turn red. You just cut off the button and threw it away. Your hand must have come in contact with the special material on the button. Once the lighting staff illuminates your hands with different lights, the truth will be revealed. Annie's heart began pounding. Was Annabelle speaking the truth? No, it couldn't be true. How could such a magical material exist in the world? She had never heard of it before. Annabelle must be bluffing. Annabelle wanted her to panic and betray herself. She wouldn't be fooled. Annie took a few deep breaths to calm herself down. She looked at Annabelle with a mocking expression and said, "What are you talking about, Annabelle? How could such a material be there? It's ridiculous." Annabelle sneered, "Just because you don't know about the material doesn't mean it doesn't exist. If you're not guilty, we can test it out. Once we do it, we will know the truth. Are you afraid of getting tested?" Annie clenched her jaw tightly and glowered at Annabelle. "Who says I'm afraid? I didn't do it. Why should I be afraid?" She told herself to calm down and not reveal her guilt. She could not panic and fall into Annabelle's trap. "It's great if you dare to do the test." Annabelle grabbed Annie's arm and raised her hand high. Then she gestured to the lighting staff and said, "Please shine the light on the diamond buttons on Annie's dress and then on her hand." The lighting staff looked at Rupert with questioning eyes. Rupert nodded with a frosty expression and said in a deep voice, "Do as Annabelle says." Chapter 72 You Reap What You Sow. The lighting staff saw that Rupert agreed and immediately understood what he was meant to do. He moved to the switch and turned on the light. A beam of blue light illuminated the diamond buttons on Annie's back, which began to flicker white. After a few moments, the beam turned red, and the diamonds began to look like flames sparking across Annie's back. "They really can change colors." Everyone was amazed by the sight. Annabelle smiled at the crowd's reaction. "As you can see, the diamond buttons are painted with a special material that creates a brilliant change of color in response to the light. Now please turn the light and your attention to Annie's hand." Annabelle gripped Annie's hands tightly to prevent her from moving while the lighting staff redirected the beam. Annie's mind went blank and her hands began to tremble. Annabelle had spoken the truth. There really was a special material on the diamond buttons that responded to lighting changes. What should she do now? Annie struggled hard, but Annabelle's grip was firm. Once the beam was on Annie's hand, the lighting staff changed its color to a cold blue. Annie's palm began emitting white light. The sight took the crowd by surprise. Annabelle explained, "What you are seeing is proof that Annie clutched the missing diamond in her palm. She then flushed it down the toilet. The special material stained her hand without her knowing." Annabelle signaled to have the beam changed to red, and the light that Annie's hand was emitting also changed, just like magic. The crowd gasped. Annabelle maintained a firm grip on Annie's trembling arm as she gave the room a better look. "We can all clearly see that Annie's palm reacts to the lighting in the exact same way as the diamond buttons. There is no doubt that she removed the button from her dress intentionally. Her hands are stained with the proof. I believe you all know the truth now." The crowd voiced their agreement. "I never would have thought Annie was responsible. Why did she do it? Who knows? She has reaped as she has sown." Annie's face turned pale as she listened to the crowd talk. Annabelle had no sympathy for her. "The evidence is irrefutable. Do you have anything to say?" "No, it's impossible. It's not true," Annie said in a trembling voice. "How could this be? Why did this happen?" The plan had been flawless. How had Annabelle seen through it so easily? She hadn't known about the special material on the diamond buttons. "Annabelle, you must have done it. You set me up on purpose, right?" Annie cried out unwillingly. "If you didn't want people to know, then you shouldn't have done it. But you did do it, and now you have to admit it." With a sneer, Annabelle released Annie's arm. "Annie, you disappoint me." Brett went to Annie's side, his blue eyes like pools of disappointment. It hadn't been appropriate to appoint Annie as the spokesperson, but since she had been so persistent, he had decided to give her a chance. However, Annie had failed to cherish the opportunity and created enough trouble to disgrace him. "No, no, listen to me, honey. I didn't do it." Brett's public rejection was making Annie hysterical. She grabbed his arm tightly. "Listen to me. I didn't do it. Annabelle framed me." Brett spared Annie a glance, then looked to her agent. "Tell me, what's the truth?" His expression was foreboding, and the aura he exuded was terrifying. "If you lie to me, I'll make sure you regret it for the rest of your life." The agent blanched. She knew that Brett was a man of his word. If she dared to lie, her life would essentially be over. Annabelle already proved Annie had cut the diamond button from the dress. Novelt, Ram, Aorg owns this content. Even if she lied for Annie, she would be refuted immediately. It was also true that Annie had a terrible temper and often ordered her to do things on a whim without regard for the consequences. She had been working for her long enough to know. What was the point of defending Annie? It made no sense to get herself in trouble with Brett and Rupert for her sake. She decided to tell the truth. She cleared her throat and said, "Mr. McCoy, the diamond button was indeed cut from the dress by Annie in the fitting room." Annie was furious. "How dare you?" she shouted at her agent. "Annie, I'm just telling the truth. I don't want to betray my conscience," replied the agent. "I don't know why she did it, though. Where is the button now?" Annabelle asked. Annie flushed it down the toilet, the agent answered honestly. "No, you're lying. I didn't do it." Annie bit her lip and continued to murmur protests. "Do you want me to get someone to fetch the button from the sewer?" Annabelle sneered. Annie was shameless. Even now, she persisted in denying the truth. Rupert suddenly broke his silence by looking to Finley and saying, "Send someone to look for the button." His voice was deep and commanding. Finley was efficient. Soon, the diamond button was found in the sewer. "Annabelle, is this button?" Finley carefully handed the button to Annabelle. "Yes, this is it." Annabelle took the button and showed it to the crowd. The buttons produced by Leo Studio have logos on them. The logo could be discerned at a glance, but the button itself had been submerged in muck for novelybook.com so long that it was no longer usable. "What a pity. Anything more to say?" Annabelle's question was sarcastic and rhetorical. "If your agent didn't see you flush this, how did she know what happened?" Annie went pale, and she was too ashamed to defend herself. Annabelle addressed the crowd seriously. "Now that the missing button has been found, the truth is clear. Annie, I don't know why you did it, but know that Benton Group won't cooperate with you anymore." "What? You're terminating my contract?" Annie's eyes widened in disbelief. Chapter 73. Give me 5 minutes. "Yes." Annabelle nodded. As Benton Group's spokesperson, moral quality is considered a top priority. We would never consider hiring a person with such poor moral standards as a spokesperson. And so, on behalf of Benton Group, I declare that our contract with you is officially terminated." "You have no right to terminate my contract." Annie looked pitifully towards Brett, pleading for help. "Honey, say something. You know I've always wished to be a spokesperson for Benton Group. You've promised me. Now, stick to your word." Annie realized that Brett was the only one she could count on. Seeing how remorseless she still was, Brett was disappointed. He replied in a somber tone, "I've given you the chance, but what you've done is disgusting. As you brew, so you must drink. I can't help you." Brett turned around and walked out of the studio. He no longer wished to see Annie again. "Listen to me. I didn't mean it." Seeing how furious Brett was as he left, Annie ran to catch up with him. However, Annabelle stopped her in her tracks. "Annie, aren't you going to apologize to me for what just happened?" "Apologize? To you?" Annie was livid. She clenched her fists tightly. If it wasn't for Annabelle, how would she ever have ended up making a fool of herself in public today? Did Annabelle want her to apologize? No way. The very next moment, two men's voices, cold and fierce, loudly shouted in unison, "Apologize to Annabelle." It was Rupert and Rory. Annie's expression changed. Why was everyone defending Annabelle and not Het? She had already angered Brett. She couldn't afford to offend Rupert and Rory too. Annie turned to Annabelle and said through gritted teeth, "I'm sorry. Is that enough? Can I leave now?" But Annabelle didn't budge. "Please remove your dress first." Annie glared at her before she made a beeline for the fitting room where she reluctantly undressed. Once that was done, she chased after Brett. "Honey, wait for me." Hearing her voice, Brett paused and said, "Annie, I'm utterly disappointed that you did such a thing. I didn't mean it. I don't know what was wrong with me." Now that she could no longer deny what she had done, all Annie could do was plead. She hoped that Brett would forgive her. But Brett remained unmoved. He cast nothing but a cold glance at her before saying, "Let's break up, Annie." "What? Break up?" Brett's words shocked Annie. He wanted to break up with her? No, it couldn't be true. This all must be her imagination. Annie was in a momentary daze before fully returning to her senses. "Brett, stop kidding, all right?" His eyes turned cold. "I'm not kidding. No, I'm not breaking up with you." Annie couldn't help but scream. She went through tons of effort to secure her place as Brett's girlfriend. After all of that, how could she just break up with him? "Annie, you know I don't like others pestering me." Brett frowned. "Why? Is it because of Annabelle?" Upstate from novel, dra/m/a.org. Annie's eyes filled with jealousy and hatred at the realization. "You need to do some self-reflecting. This has nothing to do with anyone else," Brett said dispassionately as he shook off Annie's hand in disgust and left. Staring at Brett's back, Annie felt utterly desperate. It was all Annabelle's fault. She caused all of this. If it wasn't for Annabelle, how could Brett have broken up with her? Annie clenched her fists once more, her nails digging deep into her flesh as she said to herself, "I'm never letting this go, Annabelle." Annabelle, who was still in the studio, suddenly sneezed. "Are you okay?" Rupert asked with concern. He took off his suit jacket and placed it on her shoulders. "Be careful not to catch a cold." Shaking her head, Annabelle smiled and said, "I'm fine." Rory's gaze darkened as he witnessed the scene play out from the sidelines. "It seems we can't finish the shooting today." Rupert frowned. "Hire another spokesperson and make another appointment." Now that Annie's contract was terminated, they had to choose a new spokesperson. "I have a suitable candidate," Annabelle offered, her voice gentle yet hopeful. "Oh? Who?" Rupert turned to Annabelle. "What do you think of Margot Perez?" Annabelle asked while smoothing her locks on her forehead. Margot was not only a signed actor of Star Entertainment but also the spokesperson that Annabelle had in mind. Margot's performance made her the current talk of the town. Her peculiar personality was in line with the theme of ice and fire. Annabelle had initially planned to invite Margot as a spokesperson. However, Annie managed to ask her first. "All right." Rupert raised his eyebrows. Rupert didn't know what to make of Margot just yet. But since Annabelle claimed that Margot was the best fit for the role, he agreed. Annabelle then turned to Rory and asked, "Do you mind lending us Margot for a few days?" "No problem." Rory agreed without hesitation and immediately called Margot. After hanging up the phone, Rory turned to Annabelle and said, "Margot will arrive in half an hour. She should be able to shoot the advertisement today." "Thank you." Annabelle smiled, patting Rory's shoulder. Rupert, who was watching everything happen from the sidelines, couldn't help but pull a long face. What was going on between Annabelle and Rory? Half an hour later, Margot made it just in time. "Is it true?" Does Benton Group want me to be their spokesperson? Margot asked in disbelief. Rory smiled faintly. Well, since you're already here, do you still think I'd lie to you? That's not what I meant. It's just so sudden. Thank you. Margot could no longer contain her excitement. It was the dream of countless movie stars to be a spokesperson for Benton Group. Since she was still a newcomer with a career that just got off the ground, having Rory provide her with such an amazing opportunity was quite unexpected. Work hard, Rory reminded her. Don't bring shame to our company. I'll do my best, Margot replied with sincerity. Because their figures were similar, the dress custom made for Annie should fit Margot just as well. However, one of its buttons was missing. Ask someone to order a diamond button from Leo Studio, Rupert ordered Finley. Finley nodded. Just as he was about to contact Leo Studio, Annabelle stopped him. Don't bother. Give me 5 minutes and we'll be able to shoot soon. 5 minutes? What was she thinking? Rupert looked at Annabelle, confused. How could they shoot with a dress with a button missing? Chapter 74: A Perfect Opportunity. To everyone's surprise, Annabelle picked up the dress and removed all the buttons on the back with scissors. What was Annabelle planning to do? Why did she remove all the buttons? Wouldn't the dress be ruined? Working quickly, Annabelle rearranged the row of buttons into a pattern that used one less dot. Her skillfulness stunned everyone present. Rupert's gaze never left Annabelle. His fiancée, who came from the countryside, surprised him again. If she wasn't confident in her skills, how could she so boldly make changes to such an expensive piece of clothing? After all, the dress was a product of Leo Studio. Annabelle was done in 5 minutes. The 9 buttons had been rearranged, and there was no trace of the alternations. It was as if the dress as it appeared now was the original design. Done. Expecting no complaints or contradictions, Annabelle put away the needle and thread. Suddenly, Rupert approached her. He lowered his head and spoke in a voice that only the two of them could hear. You even know how to do this? Annabelle looked at him and smiled. Have you forgotten that I came from the countryside? How can I make a living if I stop learning new skills and improving old ones? Ignoring Rupert, Annabelle picked up the dress and handed it to Margot. Try it on. Margot took the dress to the fitting room. When she came out again, she was more stunning in the dress than Annie had been. Annabelle was very satisfied, and Rupert's appreciation of her increased a little. Margot was indeed more suitable than Annie. When everything was ready, Annabelle told the photographer to start the shoot. Margot had never shot such an important advertisement before. She was nervous, and her movements were a bit awkward. Annabelle stopped the shoot several times to give Margot a personal demonstration. Don't be nervous. Relax. Pretend that this is just another day at work. Annabelle instructed Margot with patience. From where he stood, Rupert couldn't help smiling as he watched Annabelle work. She took her job seriously. His fiancée was amazing. There seemed to be nothing she couldn't do well. His grandpa had been right. Annabelle's advantages warranted thorough investigation. If it wasn't for Candy, it might be possible for him to develop a relationship with Annabelle. But when Rupert thought of Candy, his eyes darkened. He had been looking for her for years, but thus far, he hadn't received any news. Where was his Candy now? Margot was a modest and conscientious student, and after several attempts, she achieved the state of comfort that Annabelle required. Great, keep it up. Annabelle smiled with satisfaction. 2 hours later, the shoot wrapped up. Margot breathed a long sigh of relief and turned to express her gratitude. Thank you, Annabelle, for teaching me so much. It's my pleasure. Annabelle gave a smile. Be here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Don't be late. We'll be shooting the outdoor scenes, Annabelle told Margot and Rory. Annabelle, will you have dinner with me tonight? I can give you the information I mentioned last time, Rory said expectantly. He had made a plan to shift the focus of Star Entertainment to the domestic market and was itching to show Annabelle. Annabelle was about to respond when Rupert circled her waist with his arm and declared, "She doesn't have time tonight." Rupert's public display of affection made Annabelle blush. Was he trying to remind them that she was his fiancée? But it was just nominal. He didn't have the right to decide for her. Besides, Rory had something important to talk about with her over dinner. The intimacy between Annabelle and Rupert upset Rory. He tightened his thin lips, turned around and left without saying a word. "Rory." Annabelle called after him, wanting to explain, but Rupert held her tightly back. Annabelle glared at Rupert angrily. "Let me go," she demanded. "What? You can't wait to be with Rory." Rupert's face darkened. "It doesn't have anything to do with you." Annabelle broke from Rupert's grasp. "Leave me alone." She left, not caring that Rupert's cold gaze followed her the entire time. Lately, Heather had been feeling a little annoyed. She had planned to use Annie to deal with Annabelle, but she hadn't expected that Annie would prove to be incompetent. Also, she couldn't figure Annabelle's unnatural luck. She seemed to turn bad to good every time. Heather was about to ask Bella out shopping, but the butler said, "Miss, there is a Miss Jones waiting for you outside." "Miss Jones?" Heather waved her hand dismissively. "I don't want to see her." "Understood." The butler bowed and left. After the butler was gone, Heather called Bella, and the two set a date to go shopping. Heather was leaving when a figure rushed in front of her car. Heather was forced to brake so suddenly that she was almost thrown into the windshield. "Psycho." Cursing whoever it was, Heather got out of her car and slammed the door to vent her anger. It was Nina who almost caused an accident. "What are you doing?" Heather frowned. "Are you crazy? Why did you jump in front of my car?" "Miss Norman, please help me," Nina pleaded, looking slightly embarrassed. Since she had been expelled from the Benton Group, she found it impossible to find a job, and now she was running out of money. In desperation, she remembered that Heather had once tried to win her over. "Help you? Things between us haven't been settled," Heather said angrily. "Who let you stab Rupert?" "It was an accident. I was aiming for Annabelle." Just the sound of Annabelle's name was enough to send Nina into a teeth-gnashing rage. "But I never expected Rupert to sacrifice himself for her. It's all Annabelle's fault. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't have been fired. No one will hire me now." "You said it yourself," said Heather. "It was Annabelle who put you in this position, so why don't you go get even with her instead of bothering me?" "I wanted to." Nina clenched her fists. "But I can't get close to her, let alone get even. Annabelle is either in the company or at Rupert's home."
"I see."
Heather thought for a moment. "I heard that Annabelle is shooting an ad at Lover Lake tomorrow. So many people drown in that lake every year. If Annabelle also happens to drown tomorrow?"
"Yes, an accident."
The idea appealed to Nina, and her expression turned murderous. Tomorrow did indeed present the perfect opportunity. Chapter 75 Liquor. "Take this money." Heather took out a stack of money from her wallet and gave it to Nina. "If you complete your task successfully, you can rest assured that I will let you return to Benton Group."
"Really?"
Nina asked with anticipation. Heather nodded, "Of course. Everything is caused by Annabelle. As soon as she is out of the picture, Rupert will remember you. After all, you have worked in Benton Group for so many years. If I put in a good word for you with Rupert, you'll be able to return to Benton Group."
"Yes."
Gritting her teeth, Nina accepted the money. "Please rest assured. Annabelle will cease to exist in this world tomorrow." The hatred in Nina's heart reached a tipping point and she couldn't wait to kill Annabelle. She would go to any lengths to get rid of Annabelle and get her revenge.
"That's good," Heather said with a small smile. She had several ways to deal with Annabelle without having to even get her hands dirty.
Once Annabelle was dead, she believed she would be Rupert's wife. After Nina left,
Heather pondered for a while and sent a message to Kathy, informing her that she should get to watch a good show at Lover Lake at 9 tomorrow morning. Heather knew that Kathy detested Annabelle too. If Nina failed to kill Annabelle tomorrow, Kathy could step in and continue the plan. Annabelle, just wait. Once everything was arranged, Heather cheerfully went shopping with Bella. As she thought about how Annabelle would be gotten rid of tomorrow, Heather couldn't restrain her excitement and bought several items she liked. It began to get late. Novelt, Ram, Aorg owns this content. Heather, shall we go back? Bella walked behind Heather and helped carry her bags. What's the rush? Heather continued her shopping spree and purchased several latest handbags before going home with satisfaction. She got into her car and the driver started it. After a while, a familiar Rolls-Royce entered her field of vision. Isn't that Rupert's car? She hadn't seen Rupert since the day she had begged her brother to take her to Benton Group. Heather was worried about not having another chance to meet Rupert. She never imagined she would experience such a coincidence to spot him driving toward the suburb. Quick, follow the car in front of us, Heather instructed the driver. Yes, he replied respectfully. Rupert continued driving straight to the suburb. Bella was puzzled. Heather, where is Mr. Benton going? Heather's gaze was focused on the handsome man in the car ahead. Even though they were so far away, Heather could tell that he was still cold. Heather was suddenly struck by a thought. What is today's date? It's the 5th of June, Bella replied in a perplexed voice. Heather lapsed into a thoughtful silence before saying, if I remember correctly, today is Rupert's father's death anniversary. Her brother had once told her that Rupert would go to the cemetery to pay his respects to his father on this day every year. After parking the car at the cemetery, Rupert walked on the winding path that led to the top of the mountain. A solemn tombstone stood at the center of the peak. It belonged to Rupert's father, Jared Benton. Rupert knelt on one knee, his eyes sad. He fixed his gaze on the picture of the middle-aged man on the tombstone, who resembled him. Dad, I'm here to meet you. Rupert's handsome face was severe and a little haggard. When Rupert was 15 years old, Jared encountered an unexpected tragedy. That year, when he went sailing on a cruise ship, he ran into a storm. The cruise ship sank and Jared went missing. Bruce searched for Jared with rescuers, finally finding him after 7 days. Unfortunately, Jared was already a cold corpse by then. Everyone called it an accident, but Rupert didn't believe it. Jared's cruise ship had been constructed by the top manufacturer in the world. It was powerful enough to withstand storms. Although the wind was blowing strongly that day, the cruise ship wouldn't have sunk easily. Moreover, not only was Jared highly skilled at sailing cruise ships, but he was also an exceptional swimmer. Several islands were there near the location where the ship had gone down. Even if the cruise ship was sinking, he could have made his escape. With his brilliant swimming skills, he would have reached one of the islands. How could he have drowned? One back then, Bruce also suspected that his son's death was not an accident, but he couldn't find any clues or anomalies. People couldn't be brought back from the dead. From that day on, the burden of Benton Group fell on Rupert's shoulders. Rupert poured 2 glasses of wine, one of which he tipped into the ground in front of the tombstone. His gorgeous face was lined with sadness and melancholy. Dad, I propose a toast to you. He drained the glass of wine he was holding and firmly said, Dad, I know your death was not an accident. I'm certain I will get to the bottom of it. A downpour started. It soaked his whole body, and drops of water dripped down his hair. However, Rupert didn't even notice it. He knelt in front of the tombstone and steadily drank the wine. Gradually, he became a little inebriated. Leaning against the tombstone, he gently traced his fingers over his father's photo. He laid his thoughts bare to his father. Dad, do you know, I still haven't found Candy? It's been so many years. Grandpa has arranged my engagement. Her name is Annabelle. Without Candy, I think I might accept the engagement. But I promised Candy I would marry her. Heather was greeted by the sight when she reached the peak of the mountain, gasping for breath, and holding an umbrella in her hand. Rupert was sitting on the ground, completely drenched. He drunkenly leaned against the tombstone, his expression despondent. "Rupert, are you okay?" Heather stepped forward and brought the umbrella over him. "You are completely soaked." However, Rupert ignored her. He picked up the bottle of wine and gulped it down in one go. Heather grabbed the bottle from him and exclaimed, "Rupert, stop drinking. You're sloshed." Feeling groggy, Rupert looked up and saw a beautiful face peering at him worriedly. "Candy." Rupert was so drunk that he couldn't clearly make out the features of the woman in front of him. He felt that it was Candy who cared and worried about him. "Candy." Heather was hearing this name for the first time. Her ears automatically perked up. Who was Candy? Was it Annabelle? Not likely. Heather bent forward and supported Rupert, using all her strength. In a gentle and charming voice, she said, "Rupert, you're drunk. Let me take you home." Rupert, drunk and out of his senses, shouted again, "Candy." Chapter 76 I am Candy. Heather was nonplussed for a while. Then she pasted a charming smile on her face and said coyly, "Yes, I'm Candy. Rupert, I'm your Candy." Rupert massaged his temples, his head spinning. Was she Candy? He was confused. "You are drunk. Let me take you home." Heather bent down and helped Rupert to his feet. "Candy, is that you? Is it really you?" Rupert stumbled and leaned against Heather, his voice dripping with disbelief and astonishment. He had been searching for Candy for so many years. Had she finally returned? "Yes, it's me." Heather gazed at the man next to her with admiration. She was in such close quarters with Rupert for the first time. He was tall and handsome. Even if he was inebriated, he was still captivating. Heather extended her hand and gently stroked Rupert's gorgeous face with shaky fingers. This was the man she had been in love with for so many years. He had always been indifferent to her before, and now she finally got the chance to be intimate with him. However, this was only happening when he was drunk and mistook her for another woman. "Candy, why have you changed?" Although the woman standing in front of him claimed to be Candy, Rupert felt like she was a stranger, not Candy. She didn't invoke the electrifying sensation he got in her presence. "I haven't changed. You're having this misperception because you're drunk." Heather's heart quivered and she quickly pulled her hand back. She was afraid Rupert would discover that she wasn't Candy. With great difficulty, Heather finally helped Rupert to the foot of the mountain. "Come and help me," Heather yelled at Bella and the driver. They both hastily got out of the car and helped Heather seat Rupert inside. "Let's go now," Heather instructed the driver. The driver glanced hesitantly at her and asked in a cautious voice, "Should I drive Mr. Benton home?" "We will go back to my home, of course." Heather shot a glare at the driver. It had been so difficult for her to get close to Rupert today. How could she waste this golden opportunity? The driver quickly turned the car around and set off in the direction of Heather's house. Rupert leaned back into the seat, his face slightly flushed from all the alcohol he had consumed. He was not as cold and distant as he usually was. He looked much more approachable at this moment. Heather stared at him, her heart racing. Rupert constantly mumbled, "Candy, Candy. I'm here." Heather returned to her senses and grasped his hand. "Candy, don't leave me." Rupert instinctively curled his fingers around Heather's hand. His large hand was so warm that it seemed to light up her entire body. "Heather, who is Candy?" Bella asked curiously. Heather scowled and glared at her as she said, "I don't know. Don't you have to go home?" Bella wisely got out of the car. The car traveled fast. An hour later, they arrived at the destiny. Heather carefully helped Rupert get out of the car. "Here we are, Rupert." It was already 10 o'clock at night by the time Annabelle finished her work for the day. It was rare for Rupert to not call and tell her to go home. Annabelle took a taxi back to Water Moon Community. The apartment was empty. Annabelle switched on the light and swept her eyes over the house. Rupert was not there. She wondered where he could have gone as he wasn't at the office or at home. She hadn't heard him mention any social engagements tonight. Was this miserly man angry again just because she had asked him not to interfere in her affairs in the afternoon? She raised her eyebrows. Who did he think he was? Annabelle went to her room and asked Anika about the progress of Leo's studio. Anika quickly texted her back. Everything is fine. Annabelle switched on the computer and opened the hidden folder. She clicked on the picture of the dress she had designed and added some revisions to it. Once she was done with this, Annabelle looked at her watch. It was already 1 in the morning, but Rupert hadn't returned yet. This had never happened before. Even if he had some business, he would call or text her and give her a heads up. Had something bad befallen him? Worried, Annabelle took out her phone and dialed his number. After exerting great effort, Heather managed to get Rupert in bed. She leaned forward and helped him take his coat off. Rupert was only wearing a white shirt as he lay on the bed. The top 2 buttons were open, exposing his strong chest muscles. Don't leave me, Candy. I will never leave you, never. Heather's gaze was fixated on Rupert. So what if he thought of her as another woman? Once they made love, she believed that he would finally fall in love with her. Wrapping her arm around his powerful waist, she rested her head against his chest and said affectionately, Rupert, do you know how much I love you? In an alcohol-fueled haze, Rupert felt a woman in his arms, kissing him and saying she loved him, but this feeling was not familiar. It was not Candy. Candy had a subtle scent, but the woman in his arms was shrouded in a vulgar perfume smell. Heather was unbuttoning his shirt when Rupert shoved her away and exclaimed, "You're not Candy." Heather's reflexes didn't kick in, so she fell heavily to the floor. She looked up with an aggrieved expression, stared at the familiar but indifferent man in front of her, and said with bloodshot eyes, "Rupert, you're drunk. I'm Candy. I am Candy." Candy. No, it was not Candy. Rupert felt a throbbing pain in his head. He struggled to get to his feet, but was so drunk that he staggered and fell back on the bed. Under the alcohol's effect, he closed his eyes and gradually drifted off. Heather was filled with resistance as she observed the man who was sleeping soundly in front of her. Why? Why did Rupert refuse to touch her even when he was drunk? Just then, his phone rang. Heather took it out from his coat pocket. Annabelle's name popped up on the screen. Heather answered the phone with a sneer and asked in a provocative voice, "Hello, who is this?" Chapter 77 Go to Hell. Annabelle was shocked when she heard a woman's voice on the other end of the line. Moreover, her voice sounded familiar. It sounded much like Heather's voice. But how could it be Heather? Rupert disliked her. Perhaps, it was Candy. "I'm looking for Rupert," Annabelle answered indifferently, suppressing her doubts. "Annabelle, is that you?" "I'm Heather." "Rupert is taking a shower," Heather stated provocatively, raising her lips. "It really was Heather." Annabelle's expression instantly darkened. Rupert didn't return home and was with Heather. He was even taking a shower. "Annabelle, why are you looking for Rupert?" "Sadly, Rupert won't return your call because he promised to have a romantic and memorable night with me tonight. He said I was the woman he adored the most." Annabelle ended the call before Heather could finish. Heather smiled smugly as she heard the beeping voice on the other end of the phone. "Annabelle, you're going to die tomorrow." Heather took immense pleasure in disgusting her before the latter was killed. Annabelle hung up the phone, and a wave of depression washed over her. She couldn't figure out why Rupert was with Heather. To her, Rupert was usually cold toward Heather. However, Rupert was also distant and cold to her in public, yet he was intimate with her and even forcibly kissed her when they were alone. She was convinced that Rupert wouldn't turn down Heather if they were alone. Annabelle rubbed her hair and lay on the bed. Her mind was filled with Rupert's attractive face, which she couldn't shake off. Even though she thought she didn't care about Rupert, she was surprised to find herself disturbed by the image of him kissing Heather. Annabelle couldn't sleep all night. She arrived at Benton Group on the second day with two dark circles around her eyes. There was still no sign of Rupert. Rupert, a well-known workaholic, would never be late for work without a valid reason. Today, however, he was late. Finley was perplexed as well. Rupert had explicitly told him that he would watch the Ice and Fire commercial shoot in person today at Lover Lake. But now everyone was here, Rupert was still nowhere to be seen. His phone was turned off. It was unusual. We are not waiting for him anymore. Let's get going. Annabelle scowled and spoke icily. Rupert must be having fun with Heather right now. He was pursuing enjoyment while leaving so many people to wait for him. It was very frustrating. But Mr. Benton said he would come with us today. Finley was obedient to Rupert's every instruction. When given a task by Rupert, he promptly completed it. He'll come by himself if he wants to. We don't have to wait for him with so many people. Annabelle was adamant. She was always on time. She'd never let so many people waste their time. Furthermore, no one knew when Rupert would return. Annabelle has a point. I have an interview this afternoon, Rory remarked. Well, all right. Finley hesitated for a while before agreeing after hearing what Rory had said and realizing he couldn't reach Rupert. Rory got inside the car and took a seat next to Annabelle. He looked at Annabelle and asked quietly, "Are you okay?" Annabelle nodded. Even though she seemed calm, Rory knew she was in a bad mood today. The two black circles around her eyes, in particular, betrayed her. "Is there anything you can't tell me, Annabelle? Why are you treating me like a stranger?" Rory's eyes were filled with disappointment. Annabelle grinned slightly. "I'm okay. Are you free tonight? Let's go out for dinner." "Okay," Rory replied, thrilled that Annabelle had taken the initiative to ask him out. Finley, seated in the front row, overheard their conversation and was puzzled. He was well aware that Annabelle was Rupert's fiancée. Yet, she appeared to have a close relationship with Rory. They even had a date tonight. Finley wondered if he should inform Rupert. However, he couldn't reach Rupert at this moment. Lover Lake was located in the suburb of Daubug, in a valley surrounded by mountains. The birds were singing, the flowers were fragrant, and the setting was lovely. It got its name since many lovers would gather here to take wedding photos. Annabelle found a secluded grove near the lake and stated, "The scenery is lovely here. Let's start shooting." Rory and Margot changed into custom-made outfits, applied makeup, and began shooting. Margot and Rory cooperated well after a full day of shooting the day before. "That's excellent." The photographer kept shooting. Annabelle, on the other hand, wasn't satisfied with the shoot. "You may proceed. I'll go and see if there's a better place," Annabelle stated, pursing her lips. She was a perfectionist. Since she was in charge of this project, she would try her best. When Rory heard this, he paused and said, "I'll go with you." Annabelle refused, shaking her head. "No, thank you. You keep going. Don't slow the progress." Annabelle then walked to the other end of Lover Lake by herself. Rory's eyes darkened as he watched her fade out of sight. He didn't understand why Annabelle was in such a bad mood. Was it because of Rupert? The two of them were very affectionate yesterday, but today Rupert was nowhere to be found. The mountain road was a little muddy due to last night's heavy rain. Annabelle walked slowly in her high heels. Rupert came to her mind again. He promised to show up today to supervise the shooting. Now it was already 10 o'clock, and he wasn't here yet. Annabelle couldn't help but wonder whether Rupert spent the night with Heather. What had they done? Wouldn't he feel sorry for Candy by doing this? Annabelle wandered to the other side of Lover Lake. This was a spot not far from the thick of the forest. The lake and the mountain were incredibly stunning. The effect would be better if they shot here. Annabelle lowered her head and was about to phone the photographer and ask them to go and shoot there. A figure appeared out of nowhere, and a strong wind blew behind her. As Annabelle spun around, she noticed Nina staring angrily at her. With all her might, Nina tried to shove Annabelle into the water. Nina's face contorted, her hatred for Annabelle obvious. She then yelled, "Annabelle, you bitch. Go to hell." Chapter 78 A Murderer. Annabelle turned her body slightly, deftly dodging the oncoming blow. "Nina, what are you doing?" Annabelle asked Nina, who looked back at her with hatred. Nina looked possessed. Last time, she stabbed her with a knife. Today, she wanted to push her into the lake again. There was no obvious sign of deep hatred between her and Nina. Why did Nina have to kill her? Nina was furious that she failed to push Annabelle into the lake. She shot Annabelle a venomous glare and shouted, "Annabelle, you bitch. You convinced Rupert to drive me out of the company. Now I can't even find a job. I'm not letting you get away with this. Today, you'll die." Annabelle sneered and replied, "Enough, Nina. No one wants to hurt you. If you never intended to hurt me at the cost of the company's interests, how could you be expelled from the company?" The irony Annabelle felt at that moment was unbelievable. Why did Nina like putting all the blame on her for her mistake? Did she have no self-awareness? "I didn't do anything wrong." Nina seethed at Annabelle, her once delicate face now morphed into something more like a ferocious beast. "If it wasn't for you, how could Rupert no longer pay me any attention? I've dedicated multiple years of my life working for him. He used to care about me a lot before you showed up. But everything has changed since you started working there. Now, Rupert only cares about you. He's always on your side. You're just some bumpkin from the countryside. Why did he risk hurting himself to save you? What's so good about you anyway? This is all your fault. You've sowed dissension between us, set me up, and convinced him to fire me. If it wasn't for you, Rupert would have fallen in love with me." Annabelle rolled her eyes. How could Nina be so confident that Rupert would fall in love with her? Annabelle mocked, "Stop it with these unrealistic fantasies of yours. No one wants to hurt you. It's nobody else's fault but yours. You ought to reflect on yourself." Nina fumed at how calm Annabelle looked. "Annabelle, I'm not letting you get away with this. You should have died a long time ago, you bitch. You're nothing but a troublemaker waltzing through this world. Mark my words, today will be your last." Nina shouted hysterically. Today, she had to kill Annabelle. Today was the one and only perfect opportunity to murder her. Nina's face twisted into a ferocious one. She used all her strength to slam herself into Annabelle. Annabelle sneered at the crazy-looking Nina. Did Nina think she could kill her? She was overestimating herself. Annabelle turned to the side and dodged. Nina used too much of her strength. It rained the previous night, resulting in the ground being very slippery. The momentum of her movement caused her to slip and fall into the depths of Lover Lake. Plop! With a loud sound, Nina fell straight into it. Help! Help! The June air was slightly chilly, causing the soaking wet Nina's face to turn pale. She bobbed up and down in the water, shouting desperately. She couldn't swim. Nina wanted to push Annabelle into the lake, and yet here she was in that exact position. Instead, she could feel herself starting to sink. The dread of drowning caused Nina to swell up with fear. No one else but Annabelle was around. "Annabelle, help me," Nina pleaded desperately. Annabelle stood on the shore with her arms crossed over her chest as she shot Nina a look as cold as ice. "You deserve this, Nina. I know I was wrong. Now help me." Filled with the fear of death, Nina couldn't care less about anything else at that moment other than saving her own life. She ceaselessly apologized and begged for mercy, hoping that Annabelle would save her. "So you didn't realize you were wrong until you were on death's door." Annabelle stood indifferently, showing no intention of saving Nina. The lake wasn't too deep, so it would take a while before Nina would drown. Since Nina planned on killing her, it was time she got a taste of her own medicine. As she struggled and panicked, Nina gulped down some of the lake water, which caused her to cough violently. When she saw Annabelle standing still and indifferent to her life, Nina cursed out loud, "Annabelle, you bitch. How can you not save me? I'm never letting you go even if I die." As soon as she opened her mouth, Nina choked on a few more mouthfuls of water. Endless fear swept over her mind. Bit by bit, she sank further into the water. "Annabelle, I'm not letting you get away with any of this," Nina threatened, her face pale and her body trembling all over from the cold. She felt as though she was already on the verge of death. "Save your energy." Annabelle scowled and was preparing to go down to the lake to save Nina. After all, she didn't want anyone to die. As Annabelle took a few steps toward the lake and was about to get into the water, she heard someone shout from behind her. "Annabelle, you pushed Nina into the water." "What the hell? Push Nina into the water?" Annabelle turned around and saw Kathy storming towards her. Beside her was a tall man wearing a pair of gold-rimmed glasses. It was Anakin Gomez, her classmate and pursuer. After receiving Heather's message yesterday, Kathy arrived at Lover Lake early in the morning with Anakin. Kathy didn't understand what Heather's message meant initially. But as soon as she saw Nina and Annabelle, she now understood it completely. It turned out that Heather planned to get rid of Annabelle through Nina. But Nina was so useless that she not only ended up being unable to push Annabelle into the lake but even fell into it herself. Kathy didn't want to miss this good opportunity. Then, a good idea popped up in her head. She quickly took Anakin straight to Annabelle. Annabelle ignored Kathy, but Kathy grabbed her hand. "What are you doing?" Annabelle frowned. "Annabelle, you're a murderer." Kathy raised her lips and shouted. "What nonsense are you talking about?" Annabelle gave Kathy a shove. Kathy fell to the ground. "I saw you push Nina into the lake, and now you push me. Do you want to kill the witness?" Her words confused Annabelle. When did she ever push Nina into the lake? Nina was the one who pushed her into the lake. Obviously, Kathy was trying to frame her again. Feeling slightly annoyed, Annabelle looked down at Kathy like she was gazing at an idiot. "Are you blind, Kathy?" Then she ignored Kathy and walked straight ahead. On the lake, the once struggling Nina was nowhere to be seen. Chapter 79 Murder Accusation. "Don't just stand there, Anakin. Capture that murderer. Don't let her get away." Kathy got up and glared at the man beside her. Anakin was her die-hard admirer. Kathy brought him here so he would deal with Annabelle on her behalf. He was just a tool in her hands. Anakin practically worshipped the ground that Kathy walked on. He was ready to do anything just to make her happy. As soon as he got that order, he nodded and charged toward Annabelle, blocking her way. "Annabelle? Where do you think you are going after killing someone?" Annabelle was taken aback by those words. She looked at the lake with a frown and said, "I didn't kill anyone. Go save Nina. She can still be saved now. If you continue blocking my way, she will drown. Then who will be the murderer?" The imposing tone in her voice took Anakin aback. When he saw the fire in her eyes, he stepped out of her way subconsciously. Kathy brought him back to his senses. "Anakin, don't listen to her. We both saw how she pushed Nina into the lake. Even if Nina ends up dying because we didn't save her, Annabelle is still the murderer. Don't let her run. I'll call the cops now." Anakin immediately became a fool again. He said, "Don't worry, Kathy. She can't run away under my watch." After nodding with satisfaction, Kathy picked up her phone and called the police. "Hello? Someone was pushed into the water. The culprit is trying to run away. Yes, it happened at Lover Lake. Please come quickly." Annabelle's face turned cold. Nina was drowning, but Kathy prevented her from saving her. And now, instead of calling for the paramedic, she called the cops. What was she up to? "The police are on their way, Annabelle. You can't go scot-free." A vicious light flashed across Kathy's eyes. It didn't matter to her if Nina got drowned as long as she dealt with Annabelle today. Nina's survival meant that Annabelle would be charged with intentional assault at most. But if she died, Annabelle would be labeled a murderer. Since the dead couldn't speak, it would be Kathy's words against Annabelle's. The cops were sure to believe her account. All she had to do was insist that Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake. Anakin would also testify in her favor. That would be the final nail in Annabelle's coffin, she would be convicted of murder in no time. The thought of finally getting rid of Annabelle made Kathy's heart sing. She prepared her mind for the flawless acting she was going to render very soon. "You are a murderer, Annabelle. You'll be locked up for the rest of your life." Annabelle was too stunned to speak. Had Kathy gone cuckoo? Just as Annabelle was about to push Anakin out of her way, a tall, slender figure suddenly appeared. "What's the matter?" Following the cold voice, Annabelle saw Rory. Rory had been worried sick about Annabelle when she didn't return after a long time. He stopped shooting and went out to search for her. He didn't expect to see Kathy and Anakin making trouble for Annabelle and vaguely hear the word murderer. "You came right on time, Rory. Nina fell into the lake," Annabelle said calmly, pointing at the lake. "Help me hold off this man. I have to save Nina. Call 911, too." "No, let me do it. You call 911. Annabelle had barely finished speaking when Rory jumped into the cold lake without taking his clothes off. Annabelle let out a small scream as she stared at the lake. If her memory served her right, Rory didn't know how to swim very well. Her heart was already in her mouth when Rory popped up from the water holding Nina a few minutes later. Patting her chest, Annabelle dialed 911 in a hurry. "Hello, someone almost drowned in Lover Lake. Please send an ambulance ASAP." Rory swam toward the shore with some difficulty, dragging Nina. Annabelle walked into the water to help them up. "Rory, are you okay?" Seeing that Rory was struggling to breathe and his teeth were clattering, Annabelle gave him a hand by putting Nina's limp arm over her shoulders as they walked out. Rory shook his head and gave her a charming smile. "I'm fine." The two of them worked together to get Nina to the bank and carefully laid her on the grass aside. "Nina. Can you hear me? Wake up." Annabelle patted Nina's cheeks. However, Nina's eyes were closed. Her face was pale and her lips were purple. Feeling her wrist, Annabelle found that she had no pulse. "Annabelle, Nina is dead." Stepping forward, Kathy pointed at Annabelle. "You pushed her into the water and she drowned. You killed her." The incessant yelling almost burst Annabelle's eardrums. Extremely irritated, she turned around and glared at her. "Shut up." Kathy jumped in shock. This was the first time she was seeing Annabelle so furious. She stepped back warily. Annabelle got on her knees and began to perform CPR on the unconscious woman. Nina was in a critical situation now. If they waited for the ambulance to come, it would be too late and even God wouldn't be able to breathe life back into her. Even now, Annabelle wasn't sure if Nina could be saved. Nina had been in the water for far too long, so her chances of survival were extremely slim. If Annabelle had gotten Nina out of the lake earlier, she wouldn't have become like this. The obstruction from Anakin and Kathy made things worse. Annabelle could only do her best in hopes that it would be enough. Performing CPR required a lot of strength and dedication. Despite Annabelle's strength, she began to feel tired after a few minutes. "Annabelle, do you need my help?" Rory, who was squatting next to her, felt pity for her when he saw her sweaty forehead. Annabelle shook her head. "No, call 911 again. The ambulance is supposed to be here by now." Rory stood up and made the call. Kathy sneered, "Annabelle, don't be hypocritical. Nina is dead. Stop pretending. Don't even think your poor acting can change the fact that you are a murderer." Turning a deaf ear to the yapping woman, Annabelle continued to try resuscitating Nina. "You should." Kathy started again, but she was cut off by the blaring sound of a siren coming from afar. A police car was heading for Lover Lake. At the sight of this, Kathy clapped her hand excitedly. She looked at Annabelle, who was still kneeling, and quipped, "The cops are here. You will be whisked away very soon, murderer. Rory hung up the phone. He turned to Kathy and threatened, "You'd better not frame Annabelle. Otherwise, you will be shocked at what I'll do to you."
"How am I framing her?
I saw her push Nina into the lake with my own eyes."
Staring at Rory squarely, Kathy queried, "What's between you and Annabelle? Why do you care about her so much?"
"It's none of your fucking business." After yelling at Kathy, Rory walked to Annabelle's side and wiped the sweat off her forehead.
"Don't worry, Annabelle. The ambulance will be here soon."
"Okay." Annabelle nodded gently. She continued to press Nina's chest with both hands and gave her mouth to mouth occasionally. However, her efforts were still futile. Nina didn't wake up, nor did her pulse return.
Chapter 80 was Heather Candy. The police car moved at a high speed. In no time, it arrived at the shore of the lake. As soon as two police officers got out of the car, Kathy walked up to them, pointed at Annabelle, and said, "That's the culprit, Annabelle Hewitt. She's the one that pushed Nina into the lake." Looking in the direction she pointed, the police officers saw Annabelle kneeling beside a body and performing CPR.
"Let's go have a look," the older cop said to his colleague.
"Okay, Apollo."
The policewoman nodded and followed him.
"What happened?"
Apollo looked at the unconscious Nina and asked no one in particular.
"Rory started, she fell into the lake and—"
Kathy cut him short aggressively.
"No, she didn't fall by herself. Annabelle pushed her. I saw it with my own eyes. My classmate is also a witness."
She winked at Anakin while at it.
Taking the hint, Anakin stepped forward and echoed, "Yes, I saw it too." Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake. The cops shared meaningful glances.
Then Apollo asked calmly, "Is that so?"
"Of course not."
Rory frowned slightly.
"You have no business testifying, Rory. After all, you only got here after Nina was already in the water. You didn't see what transpired before then. Why are you telling lies for Annabelle so shamelessly?"
Kathy fired at him.
Rory snorted and pointed at Annabelle.
"Annabelle is trying to resuscitate Nina. Why would she do that if she pushed Nina into the lake?
Isn't it obvious?
Annabelle is just acting. Nina drowned long ago. She's dead, but Annabelle is feigning concern so she won't be arrested."
Kathy sneered.
"It's useless to perform CPR on a dead person."
"Shut your mouth, Kathy. Nina is not dead. She can still be resuscitated."
Annabelle suddenly yelled. She pressed Nina's chest again with all the strength she could muster, causing her to throw up a mouthful of water.
"What?"
Kathy exclaimed in surprise.
Was Nina really alive?
On second thought, Kathy reasoned that it didn't matter if Nina woke up. Nina would never spare Annabelle even though she almost lost her life. Either way, Annabelle was doomed. An ambulance finally arrived at this moment. A doctor rushed over with a first aid kit.
"Officers, how is the situation now?"
the doctor asked anxiously.
"This woman fell into the water."
Apollo pointed at Nina.
Annabelle finally stood up to give way to the doctor. She was almost exhausted after investing her strength in CPR. Her chest heaved violently. She took a few deep breaths and finally recovered. Afterward, she explained the situation to the doctor.
"She was in the water for quite some time. I performed CPR since she was brought out of the lake. Her pulse was non-existent at first, and it's still very weak now. Please do something to save her."
"Okay, I'll try my best."
The doctor ordered the medics who came with him to lift Nina onto the stretcher. After simple first aid, they lifted her into the ambulance. The ambulance sped straight to the hospital. Annabelle finally breathed a sigh of relief. She had done her best. However, she was still worried about Nina. It wasn't certain that Nina would survive.
"Miss, can you tell us what happened?"
the policewoman addressed Annabelle, taking out a small jotter and a pen. She had seen how invested Annabelle was to resuscitate Nina, so she had doubts about Kathy's account.
Annabelle nodded. Just as she was about to begin, Kathy yelled,
I already told you what happened.
Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake. She also watched her drown before making an effort to save her.
Shut the fuck up, Kathy.
The ice in Annabelle's stare could have frozen lava.
Shivering, Kathy kept silent under Annabelle's powerful aura.
Officers, here's the thing. Today, our company came to Lover Lake to shoot an outdoor advertisement for a brand. When I came here to check this spot for a scene, Nina came out of nowhere. She tried to push me into the lake, but she accidentally slipped and fell inside herself.
Annabelle told her own side of the story calmly.
That's bullshit.
Kathy was worried that the cops would believe Annabelle's words.
Don't believe her.
Which murderer would admit to the crime they committed?
My classmate and I saw what happened.
Annabelle pushed Nina into the lake. We're witnesses.
Apollo rubbed his forehead as Kathy continued to shout.
Afterward, he cleared his throat and said, "In that case, you all have to come with us to the station to write down statements."
Meanwhile, Rupert didn't wake up until 10 o'clock that morning.
The first thing he saw after opening his eyes was a crystal lamp.
Where was he?
This wasn't his room.
Rupert sat up on the bed all of a sudden. He looked around and wondered where he was and how he got here.
Suddenly, the door of the room creaked open.
A curvaceous woman in a sexy red silky nightdress walked in.
It was Heather.
Good morning, Rupert. You are finally awake. Look, I made you breakfast.
Heather stared at Rupert obsessively.
Heather?
Why are you here?
And where is this place?
Rupert's handsome face darkened as he queried her.
You are in my room. Where else can I be if not here?
Heather grinned mischievously.
Your room.
Rupert raised his eyebrows in surprise.
How did he get here?
Don't you remember what happened last night?
Well, you got drunk, so I had to bring you here.
Heather wriggled her waist seductively, walked to the bed, and sat down beside Rupert.
Rupert rubbed his temples and recalled what had happened last night.
Yesterday was the anniversary of his father's death. He went to the cemetery to visit his father's grave.
Sadness overwhelmed him as he talked to the tombstone to no end. He didn't realize when he drank himself to stupor.
But later.
What happened later?
He seemed to see Candy last night.
Candy.
Rupert murmured.
Biting her lower lip, Heather looked at him affectionately.
Rupert, I'm Candy.
What?
You are Candy.
Rupert's handsome face tightened, and his cold eyes fell on Heather with scrutiny. Was she really Candy?
How could that be?
Heather nodded without hesitation and looked into Rupert's doubtful eyes.
Yes. Do you remember that we were kidnapped together many years ago?